It's okay. Ohio State went in, they won, so it's okay. It was an ugly game, but they won. I actually didn't watch much of it. I could only take so much. I had to shut it off. I walked away, if we're just being honest. It was better that I walked away. It was better for my TV. It was better for my household. Better that I walked away. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to jump into it. Father God, I thank you for this family. I do. You have blessed me and the family you've given me very greatly because you put us in this church family, and they have been a huge blessing to us. I thank you for their love and their compassion. I thank you for the work that they do and their love for you and their love for one another. And Lord, I pray you would continue to bless this church, and I pray that we would truly be your hands and feet. And I pray, Lord, that we would truly seek you and your word, that we would help us to keep it in context. I pray that we would be sold out to you. I pray that you'd forgive us for all of our sins. I pray that we'd be humble and reverent in awe of you. And I pray, Lord, that you would open up your word. I pray you would minister to each of us, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Been working our way through the Gospel of Luke. Last week we talked about when Jesus sent out the 72. So he had sent out the 12 earlier, then he sends out the 70 or the 72. It depends. We talked about that. But he sends out the 70. They do ministry, and now they're coming back. And we talked about the different things. I mean, there's so much you can learn in that scripture of how we should be doing ministry and raising up disciples and sending people out and growing people up. And they come back, and the 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." They returned with joy. Did you catch? They didn't come back whining about how hard the work was. Because that happens sometimes in ministry, doesn't it? Oh, it's so hard. Oh, it's so tough. Sometimes ministry's tough. We live in a fallen world. Who said it was going to be easy? It's sometimes tough. But they didn't come back whining about how hard it was. They didn't brag about how many hours they put in last week. They didn't brag about how great they did and how many. It wasn't numbers. It wasn't. You know what they came back? Did you see what they came back rejoicing about? It was all about him. Did you catch that? It wasn't about how great they were. They came back rejoicing about what he did. It said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name because of you." They were pointing all the glory back. Listen, there's nothing wrong with rejoicing in good ministry. There's nothing wrong with giving God praise when ministry's going well. But you have to keep the praise pointed to him, because it's too often people in ministry try to point the praise back to them. It becomes about themselves and it becomes about pride. I believe in ministry, you've got to continue to point the focus back to who is truly doing the ministry, and his name is Jesus Christ. He replied, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Jesus did see Satan fall. I believe there's multiple places where he sees him falling and losing power. He saw him fall when he fell from being a high-ranking angel, and he had pride and he fell. He saw that. He saw him fall from the power and his position and his authority. He also saw him fall here, right here, when he said, when he sent them out and the demons were submitting to them because of his name. And you can see that the enemy is losing power, because that is part of what Jesus came to do. In fact, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, it says this: "He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work." And it was starting to happen right there. You can also see, and he saw it because he knew what was going to happen, that he triumphed over the enemy at the cross. Colossians chapter 2, verse 15 says, "And having disarmed the powers and authorities," talking about the spiritual realm there, they use the same words in Ephesians when he's talking about the armor of God. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. He triumphed over him by the cross. Listen, Satan is a defeated enemy. There's still battles out there, but he loses the war. Right? He's going to the lake of fire. The sentence hasn't been carried out yet, but he's going to the lake of fire. There are real demons and there are real angels. There's a real God and there's a real Satan. When he talks about Satan, it is not a symbolism. It's not some created image of evil. And he's just talking about there is a Satan and there are demons and there are angels and there is an awesome God. And as the Starkey said, you know, in Haiti, you don't have to convince people that there's a spiritual world. When I was in India, I didn't have to go around and try to convince people that there's a spiritual world. They know that there's a spiritual world. Unfortunately, like I said, they sometimes get things mixed up. They get things a little bit confused. I was talking to some missionaries that were over in the Caribbean islands. And they were doing, doesn't that sound sweet? I'll do ministry in the Caribbean islands. They were doing some ministry there. And there's a lot of tough stuff there. It wasn't all beaches and beautiful sand and water, which there is there. There were some tough things there, and one of it was how people would mix up, and they just didn't understand they need to be discipled up. They would mix things together, just like they said in Haiti, they mix voodoo with Catholicism. Over there, what they do is they mix, like, the witch doctors with Christianity. So somebody was sick, and they were going to go help them, and the person said, yeah, we're going to take them to the witch doctor. And they're like, well, we don't go to the witch doctor anymore. And they were like, no, it's okay, because they're a Christian witch doctor. And you're like, oh, man. We got problems, right? They're all mixed up. There's a real spiritual world, and it really happens. But the enemy loses. We don't have to fear the world. What we're going to get in this short sermon right here is Jesus wins. He who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. We don't have to sit here and fret and worry about Satan. We don't go tempt him. We don't go play. We don't go experiment. But we don't have to fear him. You don't have to live in fear of him, because he who is in us, the Holy Spirit who is in us, is greater than the enemy, and he is victorious over him. And he watched him fall like lightning. He goes on to say, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. He's probably referring to the evil spirits. Very often they would use snakes and scorpions to symbolize Satan or the demonic. To overcome all the power of the enemy. Did you catch that? To overcome all the power, because he has conquered him. He's a defeated enemy. He is breaking down his strongholds. I was talking about Jesus seeing him being thrown down. The first was when his first fall, right? And then he sees him and his power being destroyed by what they're doing. And he's seen the triumph of the cross, and how when he would raise from the dead, Satan would lose. But he also, I believe, sees, and I wanted to back up because I forgot to tell you, in Revelation, it's chapter 12, Michael and the angels fight against Satan and the demons, and he throws him to earth, if you remember that. If you haven't read that lately, check it out. And he comes to earth, and he is mad, he is furious, because he loses his ability to be anywhere else, and he is trapped on the earth. And then from there, he ends up in a lake of fire in the end. He sees him fall. He knows that he has authority. He knows that he has power. God has power. God is over all things. And he says he's given us power. That doesn't mean, again, that we go out and tempt Satan. We don't go out and put God to the test. When he says nothing will harm you, he's not saying that you go out and jump in front of a Greyhound bus and hope that the guy swerves. I don't think he says go out and skydive without a parachute. That's not what he's saying. But he's saying is we don't have to worry about the enemy. We don't have to worry and fret about him. Nothing, if you are doing God's will, if you are serving God, nothing can touch you that doesn't go through him first. There are a lot of Christians that go through hard times. There are Christians around the world right now who are suffering and who are being persecuted. And you read that scripture, you're like, but what's going on? What's he saying? Listen, he's saying that the enemy can't do anything to you that it doesn't go through him first. We can rest in him, that he has us. We don't have to worry and fret. God has us. No matter what the world throws at us, we don't have to worry, because the one who we serve is bigger than the world. Amen? He is bigger than even death. That's why the martyrs, when the martyrs were going out to die, there were times that they would be singing and rejoicing on their way to die. It's because they knew that he was bigger than death. The one they served was bigger than where they were going. He can protect us. He is our Heavenly Father. He loves you more than you love anybody else. He loves us. He is a great shepherd. We can trust Him. He says, however, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Listen, He has blessed us. He has all authority, all power. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He has blessed us. He has gifted us. He's given us spiritual gifts. He's filled us with the Holy Spirit. We have this fruit of the Spirit should be pouring out of us, the spiritual gifts. He has given us a power and authority, and that's awesome. But the problem is we shouldn't just rejoice in that. Too often people get so wrapped up in power. People rejoice in power. People want power. But with power comes pride, and with pride comes problems. If you're going to rejoice... Again, it's okay to rejoice in good ministry. Make sure you give Him the credit. But if you want to rejoice, if you want to celebrate, celebrate because your names are written in heaven. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are saved. Your name is written in heaven. Salvation is a massive topic, and we would be here for a long time if we delved into it deep. But I'll say this, it is sweet. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know the troubles you're struggling with. I don't know how hard life is for you right now, but I can guarantee you this, you can leave here rejoicing if you know Jesus as your Savior, because your name is in heaven, and He is an awesome God, and you are saved. Father God, I thank You that You are the Lord of lords and the King of kings. I thank You that all authority is Yours. I thank You that we serve a risen Savior who has conquered the enemy and conquered death, paid our debt in full. You are worthy of worship and praise. And I thank You that Your salvation is real and it's given to us by grace. I pray there's not one person that leaves here without knowing You, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior. Because that is what truly matters, is what we do with You. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said. If you would, please stand.